Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Carol Jean Whittington, and you're here with me today talking everything energy here on Beyond Chronic Burnout. And I'm going to be talking about seven different ways that you can recharge your energy this month. There's some amazing things that people don't normally talk about. Did you know that this can both recharge and drain your energy? When you begin to become aware of these seven different elements around this one nourishment place, this nourishment key within your daily life, this is where you begin to bring energy in. Let's get started. So it's February. Happy Valentine's month. Happy month of love. And in tribute to that, I want to talk about one of the 30 basic nourishment needs for every human, and that is love. So Maslow talks about this being a love and belonging, and we can break love and belonging down to these five different areas: friendship, intimacy, family, a sense of connection, and work groups. Now, we've all heard about the different love languages, but let's talk about them for a minute, because when we're talking about our energy, you're like, Carol Jean, how the heck can love both recharge or drain my energy? So let's think about our energy mastery as we talk about our relationship with our energy and how that correlates to love. This may be something that you've not ever thought about before. So I hope that this is something that's going to unravel and uncover some of these areas for you and how you can begin to energize in a whole new way this month. And hey, I totally encourage everybody to play, to experiment, to have fun with this. You know, we got into burnout because we're being very serious. We're being very focused. We're very driven. We're checking off our to-do list. We're doing all the stuff, but we forget to play. We forget to have fun. And one of the things that I am really focused on this year is making burnout restoration, energizing, energy mastery, making it fun, making it light and playful for you. So when we talk about love, we have two different types of love that we can talk about: conditional and unconditional. But I think before we can dive into anything else, we really have to define what love is, because we can ask 20 different people and get 20 different answers. There might be a similarity between those answers, but I looked them up. So here's how the dictionary defines love. It is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. An intense feeling of deep affection. So think about this for a minute. When you think about someone that you love, when you think about how it feels when you experience love, there's an energy boost there, right? There's an activation, an energy that happens in your body. This is one of the things that we got to start recognizing and tapping into. So I really love the Urban Dictionary's definition of love. And the Urban Dictionary says, the act of caring and giving to someone else, having someone's best interest and well-being as a priority in your life. To truly love is a very selfless act. And this kind of ties into where I want to start with it, which is conditional versus unconditional love. So this is energizing versus draining. So when we talk about conditional love, we're talking about love having conditions or rules or things that you must do first before someone will, quote unquote, reward you with affection and love. That is energy draining. Think about your relationships. Think about the people in your life right now. Think about where those relationships might be conditional, where you have to be a certain way, you have to do certain things in order for you to garner the love and affection that you're seeking. Now that's conditional, and it is a draining type of love, right? It costs you something. It drains from your energy. So let's, on the flip side, look at unconditional love. Unconditional love is where someone loves you no matter what. They say, I don't care if you've got gray hair. I don't care if you're overweight. I don't care if you're smart. I don't care if you kind of challenged. You know, I love you, all of you. The beautiful sparkly bits and the kind of, you know, hairy, scary bits, because we all have them. I have them. I've got all of that. So do you. So does every person next to you. But it requires an awareness and an intention. Because when we're not paying attention, sometimes I'm guilty of this. I don't know many people that aren't, that somehow along the way, sometimes in a relationship, we find that we're loving someone based on conditions. And that's draining, right? So let's think about that unconditional love, that love that just, oh my gosh, I can be me. I can say the things I'm thinking that sometimes I'm a little embarrassed to even say or think out loud. And the other person still loves me. I'm still loved. I'm still cared for, no matter the condition. There's nothing for me to do or be in order for me to receive love. Now, if we talk about the reciprocity of love, the giving and receiving, for a lot of us, we're excellent at giving. We are excellent at giving love. But my question to you is, are you also excellent at receiving love? I know that I wasn't. I know a lot of people that this has really been a challenge because it didn't feel safe. I didn't feel safe for me to allow someone, or me really, to allow myself to receive someone else's love. That can be draining. That can be energizing. When we look at the love languages, so here's five more, right? Going 17. We did five. We talked about love and belonging, the different types, and here's the five love languages. Words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. Now, I love this list as we talk about these different types of love languages, because if we've talked about conditional versus unconditional, and we're looking at the energy flow there, right? Giving and receiving. When we talk about love languages, we're also talking about places where energy flows to us from love. And in a love language, a lot of us have like a primary love language, and we might have a secondary. We all tend to sort of have a couple of those, like maybe three, sometimes four, but there's a dominance, like there's a primary way that we love to receive love from someone. For me, I'm a big acts of service and quality time person. Anytime Josh asks me what I want, I was like, you know, for Christmas or birthday or gift or something like that, I always say, please don't buy me anything. I'm not a gift person. I just want to spend time with you. I want to do things together. I love acts of service when, you know, there's something that I really don't necessarily love doing, and he does that for me. I receive that as such a beautiful gift of love. You know, it might be physical touch for you. I love to have Josh reach over and hold my hand while we're watching TV, you know, to put his arm around me when we're out somewhere, just to have, or it's just hand on the small of my back, just that little physical touch connection. So as we start to look at these different love languages, these five different love languages, which one do you note for you really energizes you when you receive love in this way? There are also going to be ways that don't connect with you as well. You know, they don't charge your energy. They might actually drain you. And this can actually happen in a relationship where we haven't identified our own love language, but we also haven't identified the love language of the person that we're trying to give the love to. Because if we are pouring out in a love language to someone else that we are guessing or we are trying to figure out and we're not sure, let's say that it's acts of service And because you love acts of service, you're trying to also express your love to that other person through acts of service. And maybe they're not being received in the way that you were going, okay, they feel loved through this. It might be, oh, that was really nice. Because maybe quality time is their big love language. But you've been pouring your energy into those acts of service and not getting the feedback to let you know, hey, this person is acknowledging I love them. And it can be draining. So do you start to, are you starting to put together what I'm putting down here when we're talking about love languages, when we're talking about different types of love and belonging around friendship and intimacy, family, sense of connection, work groups? I mean, all of those things are where we are finding these love relationships, be them conditional or unconditional. And then, you know, there's different types of love. There are 7 types of love. So here we're going to the home stretch here. There's romantic, passionate love, that eros love. And when we look at a relationship and we identify the type of love we have with that person, part of the energy here where we can recharge and where we can really find that connection and reciprocity of love, not just through love languages or the type of relationship, but the style of love, like the type of love we're experiencing. So one of the things that I learned, and I teach a class on this, and I did a whole big thing several years ago on it, when we talk about different connection styles. So authentic connection is one of those relationship styles. But we can also have like a disconnected, where one person shows up in a particular love type, like maybe an eros, where it's romantic and passionate for them. But for the other person, maybe it's just a philia love, like an philia is affectionate, friendly love. That energy is not being reciprocated and extended in the same way. And when we have a mismatch in our love types in a relationship, then that can also be very draining for a lot of different reasons. And it can be, when they're matched, they can be incredibly energizing. So let's kind of dig into these 7 different types of love so you can start identifying, based on your relationships and love language, another place to start bringing in or adjusting where energy might be getting drained or charged for you. So as I mentioned, we have eros love, which is romantic, passionate love. Then we have philia love, which is affectionate and friendly love, like between friends, good friends. We have storge, which is unconditional or familial love. We talked about that unconditional love. Then we have agape, which is a selfless, universal love. Then we have ludus, which is playful, flirtatious love. I think we've all had a little playful, flirtatious love in our life at some point. We have pragma, which is committed, long-lasting love. And then we have philautia, which is self-love. Now, if I'm going to be honest, to me, one of the most critical love types in this whole list of these 7 is that philautia, that self-love. Because everything that extends from us begins with how we love ourselves. This is one of the largest places in the unveiling method when we step into phase 2 and we are diving into the self-care plan from the inside out. The very first element that we dive into is reflection. We look in reflection work. And in reflection work, what we're really doing is tapping in to our self-love, our kind and compassionate heart toward ourselves. My question for you today is, if you hear these different 7 types of love and we really kind of dial in on the self-love part, is that area energizing you or is it draining your energy? There's a beautiful thing about our heart energy center. And I talk about the different areas, the different energy centers in our body, because our body is the biggest feedback mechanism and it is so finely honed and tuned. Yet we often don't listen to it. We tune it out. We push it down. We dismiss it. We say, I don't have time for you today. You're just going to have to suck it up, buttercup. We have a to-do list. We have things we have to accomplish today. And I don't have time for all the feelings. I don't have time for all the physical feelings that might be welling up. And especially when we're talking about our heart energy center and where that connects to love. Our heart energy center is all about love. It's all about kindness and compassion for yourself and others. Are you loving yourself with conditions? Are you saying, I'll give you a break, or I can take a break when I finish these things, when I've earned it, when I feel like I'm really worthy of it, like I've done a good enough job today, then I will allow myself a little bit of love and compassion, a little kindness. Or are you going through your day in an unconditional way of love, self-love, and saying, you know what? I'm going to listen to my body. I'm going to give it space to talk to me and tell me maybe what I haven't yet registered or identified in my mind. Our heart energy signifies the feeling of being able to love yourself and others unconditionally, and being able to give and receive affection with equal ease. That heart center holds a lot of different things for us. It is also the junction between our lower energy centers and our upper energy centers. Our lower energy centers are a lot of our belief that our needs will be met, that we will be nourished. Some of those tie in, and our heart sort of connects these to our upper, where we have our passions and we have our dreams and our purpose and our vision for our life. So your heart is really the center. And if we are not nourishing our heart through the things that our love language, through our relationships, through the types of relationships and love that we experience, there's a lot of blocks and barriers that come up to love. Stress, emotional pain, you know, bad memories, things that we talked about this in our 9-day energy up level, sending our energy into the past for things that we can't change. And we're missing the opportunity for the creation and the shift in the present. Overthinking, negative self-talk. These are barriers. These are blocks to our conditional and unconditional love experience. It's conditional when we're putting all of that negative self-talk in there saying, you got to do this. You really stunk at that. What was wrong with you? You got to work harder today. I'm not going to give you a break. And we're talking to ourselves. Holding on to old or ended relationships. Not allowing that experience, no matter what that was, to just be a part of our past. Grudges, resentment, hurt feelings, painful emotions. All of these are blocks and barriers to our experience of an energizing, unconditional love for ourselves and for others. A lot of times, some other blocks and barriers that come up when we're talking about love is trust. And I will tell you, number one, this was one of my biggest challenges, trust in myself, trust in my own judgment, trust in what I said was my broken picker when it came to my partners and my relationships of all kinds. I didn't trust myself to choose another person wisely who would reciprocate in a similar way. And it does impact how we love when we don't trust our own judgment or when we don't trust other people because of our experiences. A lot of that can lead to self-isolation, choosing to just not engage, to not put ourselves out there, to deny ourselves the opportunity to experience some of those beautiful types of love and that unconditional love. A lot of times we can also keep feelings and emotions bottled up. I know that I would just keep pushing them down, not even bottling them up. I was just pushing them down, going, I don't have time for you, or I don't know what to do with you, or these emotions and feelings are so big and I have no idea what they mean. I don't even know why they just showed up out of nowhere. Sometimes it felt that way. So I would just suppress them. I wouldn't even just bottle them up. I would dam them up. I had this giant wall built that was saying, nope, you got to stay back there because I'm not dealing with you. Another thing that comes up that is a block and a barrier to our love energy is fear. Fear can show up in a lot of different ways. It's usually like that future pacing of what might possibly happen in the future based on maybe some bad experiences from the past. We can be putting off the experience of love because we feel like we don't have the time. Sometimes it's like, I don't have the money. I don't have the money or the time to go dating, to go looking for a relationship, or even investing in the relationship with myself. We can get very defensive sometimes when we are blocking our heart and we are protecting it because maybe we're afraid. Maybe we don't trust. Maybe there's a lot of safety and emotional safety and security that comes in with this. When that happens, we can show up as being very defensive around those areas in our life. We can fear rejection. And guys, I got rejection sensitivity. So this is kind of a big one. You know, I grew up hearing, gosh, you're so touchy. You're so sensitive. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve. You know, why are you crying? There's no reason to cry. Your feelings can't be that hurt. But they were. And that fear of rejection, of feeling those uncomfortable or painful feelings, can create a block and a barrier to our love relationship, our love energy. And here's one that I would be real surprised to not have everybody nodding on the other side to some degree. The last block or barrier I want to touch on is when you are putting yourself last or not at all. Everyone and everything else is coming first in your life and you aren't. Or you feel like you have to earn that. So as we wrap up today, I simply want to remind you, there are so many places that our energy can flow into us. They can nourish us. And love is just one of them. Your heart energy center is just one of seven areas. If you're not sure what degree or level of burnout you might be experiencing today, go take my Spicy Pepper Burnout Quiz. And just in a few minutes, we're going to look at some of the key areas that are impacted during burnout to figure out exactly which spicy pepper you might be. From a poblano pepper level one, where you've got just a little bit of spice in your world, up to that ghost pepper level five, when you're so hot, you're not. This is where your body begins to shut down. I've been on all levels of this journey. And a lot of it I spent in chronic cycle burnout, in that chronic cycle trap, moving between a 3, 4, and a 5 for decades. And I was under the restoration illusion trap. I fell into this illusion trap, and maybe you have too, where you've been in a certain degree of stress and burnout for so long that just feeling better is all you want. So when something shifts in your life and a stress is removed or it's lessened, and you feel better, you think you are under an illusion that you are no longer in burnout when you've only moved down the scale. So one of the best ways to begin to identify if you've had a chronic cycle loop or if you've fallen into that restoration illusion trap is to find out exactly where you are right now. So go take the quiz, find out which spicy pepper you are, and when you do, come back into the online portal where you take your quiz and pop in which pepper you got as a result. And I'm going to send you some of the first ways to begin restoration, to begin bringing energy in. Let's do an energy up level. It's going to be fun. And I want to help you do that. So go find that over on the website, and the link is down in the show notes below. Guys, happy February. Happy love. Put your hands on your heart. Take a breath. Drop your shoulders. And for one moment, allow yourself to feel unconditional love. I am loved. I love myself. I am already worthy and more than enough to receive love. See you next time, guys. Bye-bye.